All right, if you will, let's open back up to Ephesians chapter 1 again. Ephesians chapter 1. For at least 25 years, I've read this passage, these first 14 verses. I've read them aloud to people. I've told other people to read them. I've studied them. That's a long time. I'm reading 14 short verses, isn't it? I was thinking this morning it rained. And it's cool in our house. And it feels like an Alaskan winter when I woke up this morning. And Kiermo's making chili today. And we're excited. That's the same recipe it always has been. It's sitting up in a crock pot. And it's hot and fresh and delicious just as much today as it was 15, 20 years ago. I hope we see this passage fresh. I hope it's hot for us, and it's a good, as old Brother Gabe used to say, this is a meat and potatoes of the gospel. I hope it's a good, delicious, savory roast to us. The title of my message is Saved, Regenerated, and Assured. All three of those take place in or the cause of Christ. We are in Christ. 9 times, at least, in this passage, it says we are in Christ, of Christ, and by Christ. He is that's the topic of this letter, of this epistle. That's the topic of our scriptures. Christ is the message. But all glory, the glory of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the glory of God is paramount in all things. That will happen. The Lord will be glorified. His name will be magnified. God the Father purposed salvation for a people in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He elected a people. The Son purchased those chosen people. He redeemed us. He paid for us in His blood. And the Holy Spirit is sent to tell us that. Convict us of our sin, to convict us of Christ's righteousness, to tell our hearts that judgment is completed, it's satisfied, and to assure us that Christ is all by giving us faith in Him. Almighty God of creation, of providence, of salvation, and of all glory receives all the praises for all in salvation, all in righteousness, all the glory and praise and the sanctification of His people. For all of His holiness. Because of who He is. What He's accomplished. That's why we sang that song, Holy, Holy, Holy. Sang with those angels. Since we are made vessels of honor unto the praise of His glory, we have no room to boast. He's the God of salvation. Man's nothing. And if He saved us, we have no room to boast. The only place we can boast, the only thing we can glory in, is Christ our Savior and Him crucified. Who He is and what He did for His people. That's the only thing we can boast at all. Now with that understanding, with that in mind, let's look here in verse 1. When we read a letter, we like to look at who it's from, who it's to, and what it's about, don't we? Who's it from? Ephesians 1:1. Paul. It's from Paul, an apostle. I'm trying my best not to preach a whole message on these first two verses, but if anybody, some old writer said, if anybody deserved a Doctor of Divinity degree, it was Paul. And Paul comes to us and says, this is from Paul, an apostle. I changed something on the cover of our bulletin this morning. It used to say Pastor Kevin Thacker, and that's fine. But I put Kevin Thacker, comma, pastor. You could address Paul as sinner. Hey, sinner. And he'd say, hello. That's me. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Not that I used to be. But he didn't call himself Dr. Paul. Or he didn't refer to himself as Apostle Paul. He just refers to himself as Paul. I heard a man call my pastor Reverend one time. He was swiftly corrected. David told us in Psalm 111, he said, He sent redemption unto His people. Who's that? It ain't us. The Lord sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. That's the only time in Scripture reverend's used. That's not attributed to a man. That's not attributed to an apostle. Paul. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Many people think they're apostles in these days. To be an apostle is that Christ taught you, called you, and spoke to you directly. He came solely to you by Himself without a preacher in between. He was the high priest, and it came to you only. That apostolic era is over. The Lord uses the foolishness of preaching to speak to people. I would run away from somebody that introduces themselves with a title, especially if it's one that says, I talk to God all by myself. It's a dangerous thing, because that's by the will of God. That's how Paul was called an apostle. That's how we are called saints. That's how we are breathing today, the Lord's will. And he says that's who this letter's from. Just Paul. Paul, an apostle. To the saints which are at Ephesus. It doesn't say to everybody at Ephesus. To all the people in the greater metropolitan region of Ephesus. It says to the saints in Ephesus. Those that are faithful in Christ. Those that are full of faith. That the Lord willed to put faith in their hearts. That's what every believer is. Christ does a work in them. We're given faith to believe God, to love our brethren. And we're saints. That's what each one of His children are. They're sanctified. They're set apart. He said, this is my portion. These are my people. That's who this letter's to. His people. And he greets them with such a sweet greeting. Verse 2. Grace be to you and peace. That's the order we receive that. Grace is always first. If the Lord's gracious to us, those that were made sanctified in Him, we are set apart in Christ by His will. We are made His. He gives, that's gracious. He gives us grace to be called His, and we have peace. That's the only true peace we'll ever have, is resting in Christ. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greetings and salutations. That's the greeting of this letter. That's the introduction. If I open that letter up, I want to read the rest of that letter. That's a good way to start a letter, isn't it? It's from somebody I know. It's just like me. It's to me, and the Lord sent it. It'll be grace and peace. Now, he reminds us here of our salvation. That's what we're going to look at in these next several verses. How Christ was gracious to us. How Christ gave us peace. He made us saints, and He makes us faithful because we're given His faith. So I hope here for a couple of verses we'll look at the Father's purpose in salvation. Then a couple of verses we'll look at the Son purchased us. He paid for the salvation. And the Holy Spirit announces it to us. Comes and tells us of our salvation, and we have assurance. We can know these things. We can be settled in them. So first, let's look at where it all started. The purpose of the Father. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. When we say, it says there, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means praise. Honor goes to the Father. Praise to the Father. Why do we praise Him? He praised us. Why do we praise Him? Why do we bless Him? He's the Father of our Savior. Why we praise Him? He's the God of all. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. All the saints, all the ones that He willed to redeem. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I wish we could get a hold of that. My car had a flat tire on the way here this morning. I'd be so upset and I'd be so worried about that temporal tire on a car. Health and wellness that's preached throughout this world today, oh, if you believe God, you won't get sick. If you believe God, you'll have a Mercedes. Whatever it is. Nonsense. Lord's blessed us with spiritual blessings. We'd have the finest suit in town and not know God, and that's just the suit they're going to bury you in. He'll rot with you. But if we dress like a hobo, don't have nothing to our name, and have all spiritual blessings in Christ. What's that? We know Him. We have salvation in Him. We have our righteousness in Christ. And we're going to be with Him forever, being made to His image. What can man do to me? That's almost like I'm dead to this world, isn't it? The Lord will keep us looking to those things. And it's dead to me. But all these blessings in heavenly places, not in this world, but in things to come, are in Christ. The Lord said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. If He's going to bless us, if He's going to be pleased with us, it's going to be in Christ. That's who it's going to be in. Now, what are these blessings? How can we see this in the Scriptures and in ourselves and in our experience? Look here in verse 4. Election. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. God elected a people. The only way you'd be mad at that is to think you have some reason that you ought to be voted for. If we're shown what we are, man is dead in sin. Graveyard dead. We have nothing in us that's of value, of worth. We watch a TV show, people going into, they go in these people's homes that's collected stuff for many, many years. And then they remove all that stuff. And when they start peeling back 20, 30 years of stuff, they start finding dead cats in there and been there for years, you know. And I thought, oh, boo. Oh. And you want a snack? No, I don't want to eat that while I'm watching that. And I thought, that's what I am to my Lord, but worse. Maggots. Worms is all I am. We read there in Romans recently, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. How could God hate Esau? That ain't the question of somebody that's been convicted of sin. How could God love Jacob? What a miracle. What a miracle. God chose a people. That means I have hope. And He chose us before the world was formed. Before I was born, before I could corrupt it, I was chosen in Christ that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. In this act of love, this act of choosing a people, who it was He picked, He made them in Christ holy and without blame. Holy and without blame. There's therefore now no condemnation. We have no blame to us. And we're holy. Ain't going to have no blame in the future. That's not something to bark at, is it? That's not something to spit on. That's magnificent, majestic grace. Lord saved the people. What is He going to do with that people? Look here in verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Predestination is mentioned 4 times in the Scripture. Twice here and twice in Romans. And well, 5 count Peter. Look at it that way. But election always has to do with the people. Choosing a people. Who is saved? Predestination has to do with what being saved is. It's being conformed to the image of Christ. Being made like Christ. Being made holy. Being made unblameable. Having no guile in our mouth. Being made like Him. Now, what is it to be made like Him? What's the cause of that? Well, I chose God. I let Him do it. Absolutely not. Nowhere in this scriptures, and from cover to cover, anywhere in there does it say that man picked, man chose, man accepted, man did anything. It does speak of our will. We'll see it in a second. But this is the will of God. It was His good pleasure. He was pleased to save a people. He was pleased in His Son to make a whole host of people just like Him. An innumerable nation. Just like Christ. But that's not by our will. Man's will is tied to our nature. Any will is tied to its nature. Tied to evilness, isn't it? Our Master said in John 5, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." We have a will of not. Not a will of yes, we have a will of no. What we can't do and what we won't do. He said in John 6:44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." We won't do it and we can't do it. It's not in our nature. We don't have a holy nature unless the Lord is pleased to give us one. It said in John 15, "Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." I didn't choose God. He chose me. He gave me fruit. And He said that you're going to go forth, show my fruit, and that fruit's going to remain forever. Because He sustains it. Same as the one that chose us. When God chose us in Christ, He put us in Him before the world was made. And He gave us all spiritual blessings in Him, in Christ. Because we had no blessings of our own. We had no worth of our own. So He put us in Him. That's when we say with Paul there in Romans 8, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." To be made like Christ. Christ is still preeminent. He's the firstborn. He's the mold that we're made out of it. God elected a people to be conformed to Christ's image. He elected them. He predestinated them. Some people get mad at that. Turn over to Acts 13. Acts chapter 13. Paul and Barnabas preaching there in Antioch at the temple. In Acts 13, verse 38, it says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." You want your sins forgiven? Christ is where sins are forgiven. "And by Him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." He's standing in the synagogue preaching, Christ is all. If He's your all, you are justified from all. Nothing has a bound to you. And you couldn't do it yourself. Can't be justified by the law of Moses. And those Gentiles told Paul, they said, "Can you come back here next Sabbath day and preach that to us again?" I like that. Tell me more about that. What time you going to be here? We'll be early. He dressed up and ready to go. Look here in verse 44. Acts 13, 44. "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." They were standing up as hard as they could, saying the opposite of whatever he said. "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye have put it away and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." That's what we looked at last Wednesday. That word came first. They heard and they knew in Israel, and the Lord said, "I'm going to make you angry by choosing a foolish nation in a different part of the world. It won't be of your physical nation." Verse 47, "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have seen thee, I have sent thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." He said, "I've sent you preaching." Salvation's of the Lord, and it ain't in the man, or where you was born, or who your daddy was. What's the response to that? Look in verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. They glorified Christ. And as many as were ordained to eternal life, they believed. They heard and they believed and they rejoiced in God. God saved the people, and it's not some physical nation on this earth. And those that He saved, He's going to come to draw near Him, make His word effectual in them, and He's going to keep them forever. That's something to rejoice in. That's to glorify Him. All right, back to our text. Ephesians 1. What's the end state of all this? Ephesians 1, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. When are we accepted in the Christ, in the Beloved? He hath made us. That's already done. That's happening right now, and it's going to keep happening. That's when we're accepted, and how long we're going to be accepted. Hath. In Christ. And all that is to the praise of the glory of His grace. Why'd He do this? Nothing in us. It was grace. We were given something we didn't deserve. But the Lord said there, and moved Paul to write in chapter 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. We'll see at the end, this is all a foretaste. This is an earnest payment. He's going to show His exceeding riches of grace and kindness towards us through Christ when we go to glory. We can't wrap our heads around that. As Paul said, the human jaw can't speak of these things. This is only a glimmer. How's all this going to be accomplished? The Lord chose a people. He's going to make them like Christ. How's that going to happen? Learn our text, verse 7. Here's the work of the Son. We saw the work of the Father. He purposed it, and the Son purchased it. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. How are we bought? We're bought with a price, and that price is the blood of God Himself. And says, well, I can do something to pay back this debt. Well, the price of that, the price of redemption, is the blood of God. That's what it takes to save somebody. The result of that's the forgiveness of sins. How many sins are we forgiven? Up to the point of salvation, and then you got to figure it out on your own? Up to the age of accountability? According to the riches of His grace. I need that. Lord, make Your mercies new every day. Forgive me every day. Be gracious to me every day. Because I'm cursed. I was born under that law. Paul told us in Galatians 3, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse of it. That's where I was found. Looking to that law, looking to myself. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. To have life, you must be given faith in Christ. He has to give it to you. The Father purposed it. He said, I'm going to choose a people. I'm going to make them just like Christ. We were purchased by Christ's blood. He came to this earth, took on our flesh. He went down with all them dead animals and worms. Came just like us. Walked this earth in perfection to God's holy law. Honoring Him. Trusting Him. Never had an ill thought. His conscience was pure the whole time. Even when everyone spit in His face. When they pierced His hands. He had a true and pure heart. No guile was in His mouth. And He did all that and died for us. God turned His back on His Son, on Himself. God provided Himself a lamb, and that lamb was slew. It was killed and it bled and it died. And he rose again the third day for that people that the Father chose. How are we going to find out about that? We're going to sit down and study it until we get it right. We're going to throw dice and hope we land on the right page. Look here in verse 8. Here's the work of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and in all prudence. Effectually, in wisdom and in prudence, the right way, He abounds towards us. He makes haste towards us. Like that prodigal son's father, he ran. He made a hurry to run to his son to kiss him. And in the Lord's time, today is the day of our salvation. The Lord says, right now, save him. That's when I purposed it. The Holy Spirit leaps and bounds to us. Like Philip running after that eunuch. Wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. A mystery comes to us, and it's revealed. You can't say you solve mysteries. Well, if you ain't got no truth revealed, ain't no mystery to be solved. You just keep looking, don't you? But if I know a mystery and you don't, I have to reveal that to you. I have to explain it. The mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Paul speaks of this mystery a couple of times, but we'll look at it in Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Colossians 1, 25. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Who's this mystery going to be revealed to? Well, it ain't ages and generations. It's only going to be revealed to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. The Lord's going to reveal it among the Gentiles and his people anywhere in this world, under any nation. And what's that mystery? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, that ain't that mysterious. Christ is our glory. Oh, that's mysterious. This has been revealed to you. You're like, oh yeah, no, that's right. I thought there was going to be something complex. Christ saved his people. Explain that in one book, in one letter to somebody. Lord has to explain that to the hearts of his people. Uses the Holy Spirit to come to us and say, well, you know what? Christ is all. He's all and in all. Salvation was purposed by the Father in Christ. It was accomplished by him through Christ's blood. And he sends the Spirit to his people that he bought to abound towards them and assure them that his work is accomplished. All of this is in Christ. Every bit of it. Look up verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Whatever was supposed to happen this past Tuesday, that may not have happened yet. We don't know what's going to happen. Guess what? Whoever got elected to be president, that's for Christ. That's for you that are sanctified in him. That makes it easy to honor that king. Lord, you put him there. I got sidetracked. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's our head. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. What little bit we know, what just sliver we understand of God's fullness, all his majesty, all of His glory, all of His power and might, everything He deserves, it dwells fully in Christ. To know Him's life, isn't it? To look to Him's life. Now back to our text, I'll hurry. Ephesians 1, verse 9. That's the mystery. Christ. Verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, by which, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, in Him. The Lord's going to draw every one of His sheep that the Father purposed, that He bought to Himself. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. What an accomplishment. God the Father said, here's my people, go save them. Christ did, and the Holy Spirit came to those people, revealed Him, revealed Christ to us. And all of that, we are made vessels of praise to God's glory, to the one that first trusted Christ. He said, this is my elect. This is my Son. And I'm going to put all the people I chose in Him. He's accomplished it. Now here's our assurance. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Here's our assurance. Is this all for me? That's right. 25 years ago I read this. Yesterday I read it. Read it this morning. And I was like, is this for me? Has this mystery been revealed to me? Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted. God the Father trusted Christ. Is that who you trust? Are you saved? Who you trusted? Tells you that. Who do you look to? In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It's a great gift to have someone tell you the truth about God, about Christ, and about man. That's a great gift. It's a better one to be made to hear it. Our Master said in Matthew 13, that blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them. And they desire to hear those things which you hear, and they ain't heard them. This ain't for everybody. This is for God's saints. We saw that about how Israel had heard the other day, but not effectually. They weren't made to effectually hear because the power of God hadn't come to them. He says, Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 1, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you by word only. We didn't just say these things and you said, okay. But also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. It don't matter what I know. You hear the word preached and you say, I know that's truth. Do I believe it? Do I have enough faith to give it by? I don't know, but that's truth. I'm assured He's the truth. I'm assured salvation's by Him. So we heard in power, the Lord made us hear, and we believed. We saw that in Romans 10 before, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He makes us hear. He makes us believe. And then we're sealed. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's what's put in us. That's what's sealed in us, the Spirit of God. That's who He dwells in His sanctified people, in His saints. Turn over to 1 John. We'll look at this real quick. No. Let you go. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4. We saw in 1 John 3, he said, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." We know that Christ lives in us. We know that we're his. We know that his gospel's truth, because the Spirit he gave us lives in us. Now, 1 John 4, verse 13. "Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." How's a Jew going to be saved? God has to send Christ to save him. How's a Gentile going to be saved? God has to send Christ to save him. That's what we profess. We know that, don't we? If you know that, that's because the Spirit of God's come to you and dwells in you. Now back at our text and we'll close. All of this hearty meal that we've just been given from Paul to us. God the Father purposed salvation. Christ bought our salvation. The Spirit tells us about it. We're informed by them. And we know, we have assurance in that. God of our salvation. Verse 14, Ephesians 1:14, "Which is the earnest of our inheritance." You ever bought a house? You put earnest money? That's just a little bit. But that's just you put lay claim on it and you let people know you're serious. All of this blessing, it's just the earnest money. All the hope and delight and joy we have right now, that's just a down payment as to what's to come. "Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession." He's bought us. And until we're redeemed into glory, to be like him, to be with him, to be without sin, till that day comes, whether it's him coming to us and into this world, that last sinner's called to Christ, or in the day of our death, we will receive our inheritance in Christ. And it's unto the praise of his glory. Every bit of it. That'll be something. The Lord takes us out of this world, brings us to glory, makes us fully like Christ. No sin in us. We can't imagine that. And then truly we can praise him for his glory. We say that, "Oh Father, magnify your name." We'll do that in truth someday. For those he's picked, he's set apart, he's bought. That's what he's going to do for us. Get to worship him properly. What a day. All right, let's pray together.